this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 104 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I am in Edmonton. It's been a beautiful weekend up here in Canada. I love working up here, and it's been really interesting because I've been able to watch the United States on Canadian news. I've been watching some CBC, so let's get right into it, shall we? I got to start with Baltimore and the riots and the aftermath of the riots, because I posted on Facebook, but I haven't done anything in the podcast. And one of the reasons is, and people are just, they know it. If you check my Facebook, if you've listened to me at all, you know I keep saying the same thing. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And I describe this as a slow motion riot. And the reason I call it that is because we saw this coming. If you watch the news, you saw angry groups of frustrated young people marching through Baltimore. And, you know, next thing you know, the window breaks at a CVS. And then the looting starts at a CVS. And the police are just watching. They're not taking any action. And then the CVS starts burning. And then, a car starts burning. And rocks are thrown at a police car. And it escalated. And we all saw that happen. And it literally happened before our eyes in slow motion. And nothing was done to stop it. And I'm not saying the cops should have gone in like Ferguson with, you know, a bunch of MRAPs and Hummers and, you know, submachine guns and whatever else, doing a military presence. But I think if the police had shown a stronger presence at the beginning, when it was just a bunch of kids breaking into a CVS, it could have been stopped. Anyway, we all saw what happened. The violence escalated. There were a few episodes. There was one where a black mother saw her son throwing rocks at police cars, and she grabbed him and basically beat him in the head on TV, and a lot of people called her the mother of the year, and she said she's just trying to save her kid from becoming the next Freddie Gray, because, you know, what they tried to, and it's the dual coverage is ridiculous, but if you watch CNN or MSNBC, the so-called liberal channels, then she was a mother, and they showed what they did. Fox called her the mother of the year. She's great. She's stopping her son from being a thug, blah, blah, blah. But they don't address the fact, well, when she said she doesn't want her son to be another Freddie Gray, it means she doesn't want another young black unarmed man inexplicably killed by the police. But anyway, I'm not even going to get into that. So we watched all that happen. We watched the curfews. We watched the National Guard be deployed. We heard the politicians say the same things that they always say. And the investigation began or continued. Now, here was the thing that bothered me about the news coverage. They would keep referring to Freddie Gray's being killed as the incident, or we don't know what happened, or whatever else. And it was like, we all watched the tape. We all watched a seemingly healthy 24, 25-year-old young man jumped on by a bunch of cops, screaming in pain, thrown into a police van. Then what we didn't see, he's taken out of the police van, and days later, he's dead. And they're like, we don't know what happened. And here's my thing with any of this, okay? This is my argument to the Fox News, to the right wing, to whatever. Reverse the colors. That's all. Just reverse the colors. Imagine Freddie Gray was white. Imagine he was a upper middle class white kid, picked up by the police, leg broken, screaming, dragged into a van, and came up dead a week later. Do you think there would be any, we don't know what happened, we better investigate? Man, there'd be people up on charges so fast it would make your head spin. So we all know this. But anyway, the right people got involved. And when I say that, I mean the whether it be the truce between the Bloods and the Crips, or the fact that you had, you know, Carmelo Anthony down there, whatever. People calmed people down, and the riots didn't escalate. And finally, charges were pressed. the six cops, as we know, have been charged on everything from second-degree murder to excessive use of force and false arrest, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll see how this plays out, because we've seen them charged before and we've seen them not convicted before. An interesting thing about this is the six cops, whose, again, charges range from false arrest to second-degree depraved heart murder, all of their bails were less than a kid who was arrested for breaking windows with a cone. The kid's bail, $500,000. These cops, $250,000 to $350,000. So don't say there isn't a double standard. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm with this 100%. I love seeing it, and I wish these women the best. That's right. Women are in charge of this. Black women are in charge of this. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the mayor of Baltimore. Some say she did a bad job. Obviously, there's no preparation for this sort of thing. She decided, apparently she's the one who decided to have the cops hang back. I don't know, but that may not have been the best decision, but she's running it. Then the National Guard comes in, and Major General Linda Singh. And let me tell you something. I've done some shows with the military and some work. To reach that rank, Major General, this woman is something. And she was in charge of the National Guard. And finally, and I think this woman's going to become the face of this case, is Marilyn Mosby, the prosecutor who pressed the charges. She is very young to be in this position. I believe she's only 35, and she's going to be watched like a hawk from both sides. And, of course, on a side note, these being three black women, there are articles about their hair. The great thing is all three of them have beautiful hair. Fantastic hair, ladies. So if that's important for whatever reason, you nailed it. But all kidding aside, I think Marilyn Mosby, I think she's going to do a good job. She comes from a law enforcement family. She obviously knows that culture, that side of it, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think she's going to blow this one. I think there's going to be, I hope someone gets convicted, because obviously some wrong has been done. So we'll see how Baltimore played out. Side notes, playing a baseball game with no crowd, that's a loud statement. And the announcer at the game may have been whispering, but believe me, that statement was loud. The owner of the Baltimore Orioles, Google his speech about the riot, his take on the riot, when he talked about how this didn't start this night, that this goes back to American jobs being sent overseas, cities like Baltimore, Detroit, Cleveland, et cetera, going broke because they did away with the jobs, and they've done away with the middle class, and they've done away with opportunity. And this has led to the frustration, which leads to the anger, which leads to these cities blowing up. It was a very intelligent, insightful, and dare I say, surprising take. And I'm sure the press was surprised when he said that, because I think they were looking for some anger and a hatchet job from him. So that's it. My take on Baltimore, it won't be the last one. Honestly, I don't think it'll be the last one. These police are still above the law. These police still get away with killing unarmed blacks, Mexicans, homeless people. Disenfranchised members of our society get killed by the police. And the Fox News right-wing element refuses to believe that, even though it's right in front of their face. Their response to the police being charged in this is that all Baltimore police should stop arresting people. They should all quit, blah, blah, blah. It is an utterly ridiculous response to something that's obvious. And again, I say, let's reverse it. What would Fox News say if six black cops grabbed a white kid, threw him in the back of the van, and at the end of the ride, the kid had a broken back and died? I don't think they'd go with the story that the kid banged his own body around in the van and broke his own back and his own neck or whatever else they tried to pull on this one. So unbelievable, and yet not unbelievable that that's the right-wing take on this. Now, in other news, because, yeah, there has been other news, Chief Justice Roberts I don't know if this is a case of him slipping or, you know, merely telling the truth that we all know. But Justice Roberts said in a decision, well, here's what the case was. It was a Supreme Court decision, Supreme Court case about fundraising for judges. In Florida, judges get elected. There was a case about whether or not they should be allowed to raise their own funds. And the Supreme Court surprisingly said no. And surprisingly, because this Supreme Court hasn't done anything to stop campaign financing. But they said no. But what's interesting was what Judge Roberts wrote in his opinion. He's explained judges are different from politicians, and the reason courts should distinguish judicial elections from legislative and executive elections. Now, this is what Roberts wrote. It is vital that judges not be responsive to those who put them in office, but serve as neutral decision makers. On the other hand, politicians are expected to be appropriately responsive to the preferences of their supporters. Indeed, such responsiveness is the key to the very concept of self-governance through elected officials. You know what he's saying there? He's saying there that elected officials should be responsive to those who give them the most money, that they should be in the pockets of special interest groups and billionaires who pay for them to be elected. And he thinks that's perfectly fine. And you wonder what's wrong with our government, and you blame Barack Obama? This is the Supreme Court, okay? If you remember from constitutional law, we had the legislative branch, which is Congress. We have the executive branch, which is the president. And we have the judicial branch, which is supposed to keep an eye on both of them, supposed to make sure that they watch the Constitution, supposed to keep it fair. Like he said, judges are supposed to be neutral. And the Chief Justice says it's okay for politicians to pander to their highest donors. As a matter of fact, that they should pander to their highest donors. So if you think special interest groups and money raising and all of that is going to go away, you are wrong. And again, I've said this before and I'll say it again. To the people who don't vote, when you're like, well, if you don't vote, you can't say anything. No, it's okay not to vote. If you say my vote doesn't matter, well, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court agrees with you. Your vote doesn't matter unless it's attached to millions and, yeah, millions of dollars. It's a damn shame, but that's where we're at. Texas, and you know we love Texas. You know why we love Texas? Because there's a special kind of crazy that goes on down in Texas. So here, I'm sorry for laughing, but you almost have to. I don't know if you've heard about this. There is a military exercise, and it is, there's a name for it. Forgive me for a minute while I'm looking it up. It's okay. It's called Jade Helm 15. And what Jade Helm 15 is, no, it's not a new Battlestar Galactica movie. Jade Helm 15 is a domestic military training exercise. It's where Green Berets, Special Forces, Navy SEALs, they're going into the Southwest to train. That's what these guys do. You've seen the movies. You know how to, well, we thought they were going to train. But, and it's a good thing old Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott have an eye on them. Greg Abbott is the new governor of Texas. He's replaced Rick Perry, and it's hard to believe, but they've gone crazier. So Greg Abbott has sent the Texas State Guard to monitor Jade Helm 15 to safeguard Texans' constitutional rights, private property, and civil liberties. And Ted Cruz wants to talk to the Pentagon about what's going on with Jade Helm 15. You know why? You know what they're afraid of? They think that this is some kind of, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but honestly, they think that this is not a special forces training exercise, that this is the first step in Barack Obama's secret martial law takeover of the United States, that he's sending these military people to take away the guns from people in Texas and in the Southwest and to impose his martial law and take over the country. I wish I was making it up. I wish I was making that up. That is what they're worried about. They're watching him. They're on to him. They're on to him. Barack Obama's brilliant plot foiled by the genius of Ted Cruz and Greg Abbott. And don't think don't think that Rand Paul isn't involved, because Rand Paul said that he's heard about Jade Helm and he will look into it. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is why. And it's funny, Todd Smith, a former Republican state representative, he sent an angry letter saying that this is the problem the Republicans have, pandering to idiots. That's what he said. Those are his words. The Republican Party's willingness to pander to idiots is the problem. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, this is, and here's the beautiful thing. Let's say Jade Helm is this big secret plot to take over, you know, under Barack Obama. Do you think if you asked the Pentagon about it, they would tell you? They're like, oh, all right, listen, Obama, we're in on it. We got the plot. This is the Pentagon. We got it. We got it set. We got special forces all throughout the Southwest. We got the Green Berets, the SEALs. Everybody's in place. Oh, wait, what's that phone call? Ted Cruz. Hey, Ted Cruz is asking about the secret plot. Guess we're going to have to tell him. Didn't know he'd call and ask. This is truly unbelievable. And the beauty of it, the man's running for president of the United States. Yeah, Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, they're checking in on a government military training exercise to make sure it's not a secret plot of the president to impose martial law, take away guns, and take over the country. God bless America. And not to be outdone on the scale of crazy, Michelle Bachmann dropped by just to let us know that the earthquakes in Nepal are the result of gay marriage being approved in the United States. She talked to God, and this is what God told her. People who talk to God are not crazy. People who God talks back to personally are nuts. So good for you, Michelle. Hope you had a nice conversation. All right, I'm done with all that. I'm done with all that. Let's get back to some other stuff. The fight of the century, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. A lot of people are mad at Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao, saying it wasn't a great fight. I didn't see the fight. I was working. I was on stage. They say that you know, Mayweather was running and blah, blah, blah. Well, listen, most of these fights, one thing, most of these big fights are not the fight we're used to seeing in the movies. This is not Rocky. Two people do not stand in the middle of the ring delivering haymakers back and forth. Yeah, Hearns and Hagler did it, but that was an amazing occurrence. And you're not going to see a fight like that again. So most of the time, it's not that. It's boxing. It's stick and move. It's in the corners. It's moving to the middle. It's ducking. It's avoiding. And Mayweather's a counterpuncher. Mayweather lets you attack, then he fights back. It's blah, blah, blah. It is what it is. Why are people mad? Okay, fight of the century? Well, it's early in the century, so maybe there'll be a better one. You're mad at Mayweather for making, I think, what, $180 million, $200 million, whatever he made. I think he made $100 million and Pacquiao made $80 million. I don't know what it was. It's some astronomical number. People are upset for some reason. People are mad because they paid $99. There are some people complaining, and I love this. They're complaining because they paid their overdue cable TV bill just so they could order the fight. And they're mad. You paid your overdue bill. That's a reason to blame Mayweather. Listen, is Mayweather a good guy? I don't know. Did he beat women? Yes, he has beat women repeatedly, and he's been to jail for it. So some say he's paid his dues. Some say he's forever horrible. I'm not going to judge a man on that. I don't approve of domestic violence, okay? I don't think it's a good thing. But I also don't know how long you penalize someone, you know, once they've been to prison, et cetera. And I'm going to talk more about that in a minute. But I will say this. I do not penalize Floyd Mayweather for doing an amazing job of promoting himself, for getting people to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to buy this fight, and for making hundreds of million dollars off the fight. I certainly don't penalize him for doing that. Now, on the subject of athletes being penalized, Alex Rodriguez has caught Willie Mays. He hit his 660th home run. I don't know if you know about this, but the Yankees are supposed to give him a $6 million bonus for promotion. But the Yankees are saying we're not giving him the bonus because we can't use him as a face of promotion. And the most beautiful thing to me about it, Alex Rodriguez is sitting in the dugout smiling. A-Rod is okay. I am fine with A-Rod. I think he has served more than his fair share of penalty. Everybody was on drugs. He's not the worst one. They make him the face of it, blah, blah, blah. Good for him, and he's handling this perfectly. He's smiling, and he's hitting more home runs. Let his lawyers and agents fight over the money. We all know he doesn't need the $6 million. Some have said it would be a great gesture if he got it and gave it all to charity, and who knows, maybe he will. But however it works out, I say good for A-Rod. Great hitting, and I'm glad you caught Willie Mays. Good for you. And even Willie Mays said, hey, I was taking Reds. So, you know, there's that. And finally, last but not least, I will say go Clippers. That's right. You know I'm a Clipper fan, and the Clippers beat the San Antonio Spurs in 7 games in what might be the best series of the playoffs. It's a shame it had to take place in the first round. Now, I just had a glitch on my computer, and I hope I don't lose this entire podcast, so I'm going to shut up now. Friday, May 8th, I'm at the Vic Theater in Chicago taping my new comedy special, Historically Incorrect. If you're in Chicago, please get down to the Vic Theater Friday night, May 8th, 7 o'clock. Go to alonzoboden.com, get your tickets.